Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen and Stephanie Harmon.
I'm
alongside.
Stephanie.
Yes, you are. I knew that. And, and you know, what I was going to say, you know, I know we've had a couple of false starts here, but my question for you is still the same, Steph.
Okay.
Have you been thinking all day of nothing but 1 month, or actually less than 1 month, until baseball starts? Is that the only thing that's been on your mind all day?
I like the Cardinals. Yeah.
Do you really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I also like the Battle Hawks, and they're getting ready to start up too.
The Battle Hawks?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Who?
What?
Who? What is the Battle Hawks?
Football.
Oh, football. Oh, well. We don't play football here.
It's St. Louis football team.
No,
the Battle Hawks.
No, no, no. We play baseball here. Battle Hawks. And plus don't people play football in the fall?
Yeah, but you know, Battle Hawks comes in after that.
Oh, okay.
So it won't take up so much. We can just cheer them on.
Oh, I'll definitely be cheering on the Battle Hawks. Whatever they are. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah. Or as my daughter always said, whatever. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, it's, what is this, the 5th of March. So that's nice. Do you know what's on the 7th of March?
That's Thursday, right?
Yep. Well, I'm not going to torture you.
Are we going to hear something about Fannie, whatever her name is?
Yeah, Fannie Willis.
Fannie.
Well, it's funny.
I called her Fannie.
Yeah. It's funny that you brought that up, because apparently there's some guy who just jumped out of the woodwork screaming hysterically that he's got information that will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Fannie Willis has been lying to everybody, and they have to end the Trump case immediately. So, you know, that's not happening.
What?
Yeah, I'm just telling you. This, I don't know who the guy is.
I'm so sick of this drama.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of drama. But whoever he is, he's out there. He's screaming. He knows the facts. He knows everything. And he's held back up until now.
I'm Mark Kaysen.
I don't know why.
Because it's Trump's cousin removed from the second.
Something like that. I think you might be right on that, Steph.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so aside from all of that, I think we don't have to worry about Fannie Willis, because I'm pretty sure that in less than 2 weeks, she will be running with the case, and everything will be fine, and all the rest of this silliness will have been forgotten. And let's hope I'm right.
I hope yeah. You're right too.
Yeah, because I'll tell you that there would be a horrible situation if all of that Trump tape that we've got went to nowhere, and we got nothing out of it. And, you know, it's funny how the Trump people, when they hear that, it's like, well, you're just looking for something to get them. Well, mm-hmm. You know, in the case of Donald, you don't have to look far.
I mean,
it's all there. So,
just,
you know,
peep out just go like this. Peep out. There it is right there.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's fine. I'm sure Fannie Willis will do great. But anyway, on March 7th, it's the 59th anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma, where they crossed the bridge and were beaten, and it was bloody. It was violent. The people from the South who were trying to hold on to every vestige that they could of segregation and Jim Crow, they just ran into a buzzsaw when they went too far. They really did a lot of damage, and the result of that was the Voting Rights Act of 1965. So it's funny how a lot of times these people don't seem to realize that when they go berserk trying to do things that they shouldn't be doing, firstly, I say they shouldn't be doing just because of humanity. You know, it's not necessarily a policy issue, but, you know, beating up people that cross a bridge that are trying to get freedom, and that's just not going to look good, and it's going to lose every time. And of course, here we are in 2024, 59 years later, and they're still doing the same thing, beating people up, not maybe physically at the moment, but beating them up in the political arena. And you know, like, for example, I heard today a woman, as you know, today was Super Tuesday, and so huge voting today. And one of the Nikki Haley supporters said of Nikki that she was the voice of reason, not the voice of treason. And, you know, that was probably the best line of the day. And certainly, you know, Donald Trump is at least the voice of treason and much more that he's been up to.
Right.
So the point is, there is going to be a lot that's going to happen here. That this situation the dog, you know, dogs are.
I'm sorry.
No. Don't worry.
She was waving high. She's like, "Hey, Mark." Hey,
listen, I'd bring my dog, but it probably wouldn't go over so well. But. No, it's okay. You know, people, you know, this is the other funny thing, as you well know, people watch network TV all the time now and see guests like you who are doing their programs out of their homes, and their dogs and other pets jump into the screen and get involved, and kids are doing that also. It's just, that's the reality of 2024. There's nothing bad about it. You know, so... Yeah, don't worry. But yeah, it's funny. It's funny. But anyway, clearly, this is a time when there's some very serious issues on the line. And yet, the other side, you know, the Trump people, I mean, they just live in another universe. They really do. And, you know, I was watching one of the national shows a few days ago, and in New York, they have a new production on Broadway, which is Back to the Future in music, and it's a great play, they say. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid to even hear what the tickets cost, because I thought to myself, yeah, that'd be fun to go to New York and go see the play. I used to do it many years ago, but that just go see Back to the Future, that I think that would be great. Now, would I pay $1,000 for a ticket? Of course not. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, that's insane. And I don't know that it costs that much, but it probably does. I doubt that it's $50. I can tell you that. So anyway, but Back to the Future in New York comes at exactly the right time, because let's face it, this whole thing about the alternate universe is exactly the story that Steven Spielberg told in the second issue of Back to the Future, the second episode where Biff ended up owning Biff Tower, which is Donald Trump. I mean, it was Trump Tower, and, you know, he pulled out the gun to shoot Michael J. Fox, and I'm sure Donald Trump would do it if he could, or maybe he's already done it and we just don't know. But anyhow, it's 59th anniversary of Bloody Sunday and in Alabama. And clearly, it's still an issue here in the United States. None of this is over. And I have to tell you, years ago, when I was doing the programs with Onion Horton, you know, Onion always said, keep going forward, keep fighting, keep trying to make things better, and then also recognize that it's hopeless. And people used to say, Onion, that's terrible to say that it's hopeless. True. I mean, you shouldn't be saying it's hopeless.
But I get what Onion's saying, though.
Yeah, well, sure. Look at 2024. It's no different. We're still dealing with the same junk. Hard to believe. People trying to shut down Black history.
But you know what?
Yeah,
prejudice is prejudice is prejudice. And if you really think about it, it's never going to go away. As much as we want to believe that, don't get me wrong, do I think it's better now than it was in the 60s and the 30s and the 20s and the 1600s? Yes. But we are still in a world where we have to face reality that at the end of the day, Black people still get paid less than whites. Black people are still pushed in to live in one area instead of being able to live in other areas. And just to give you an example of that by itself, when my, I think it was 1975, my mother and father tried to purchase a house in Florissant. The same Florissant that's now populated with a whole lot of Black people. At that time, we were the third Black to move into the subdivision of Paddock Forest. And my mom tried to purchase this same house 2 years before she was allowed to purchase it. And what she was told is they were not selling to Blacks. And that was in 74.
Sure.
In 73 and 74 and 75, she bought that house.
Yeah. And by the way, don't forget that in 74, that's right around the time when Donald Trump and his family were being sued for refusing to sell, or not to sell, but to rent to Black people in their apartments that they owned. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So it was about the same time.
Yeah.
And then from that, I remember also is that Dad was coming home from work in his unmarked police car and got pulled over by a white policeman asking him where the hell was he going.
Sure.
And my father had to look at him and say, I'm going to my house. I live here.
Right.
So, you know, has that really changed? No. That part has not changed. You know, we're still not allowed in certain areas to live. We're still getting pulled over because of the color of our skin. So it's a lot of things that are still into play today. So I'm not sure to say that I will be alive or you'll be alive to see that prejudice is gone. It doesn't exist. That'll never happen. That'll never happen.
Well, it won't happen, and I think that's really fair to say that it won't. It'll not be the way it should. But on the other hand, it could be more like what's going on generally with the Jews, like me, where there are people who still hate us. I mean, they walk around all the time thinking about us for no reason. For what? Take care of your own business, you know. But on the other hand, they are unable to affect our lives in the way that the Germans were able to do 80 years ago. So the thing that might happen is that you might be dealing with the same situation where, you know, people would think about what they don't like when they see you, but at the same time, they would understand that there's nothing they can do about it, and they better just get on with their lives and leave you alone. So
you would think so, yeah. But you know, it as of today, it still is affecting our lives.
Oh, absolutely.
We are still getting beat in public. We are still, you know, being mistreated by the justice system. You know, at the end of the day, there's a lot that has not changed. A whole lot that has not changed. We are still fighting for equality as African Americans. And it's sad that we would have to fight for something that we contribute to on a daily basis. We work every day. We contribute to society. But yet in all, we're still not treated as the same. And that just breaks my heart as a person, let alone a human being.
Yeah. You know, years ago there was the story, the correct story of at the sheriff's department, a situation where they had nooses that were put up on the lockers of all the black deputies.
And they just had that situation at the bus, at one of the private school buses.
And that's what I was going to point out. I mean, here we are years later. And people are still trying to play games, acting crazy, and terrorizing just innocent people for no reason with things that just make no sense.
People are still being hung as of today. Black people are still being hung as of today.
Yeah.
You know, and they can't seem to find out who ever done it. You know, the one that gets me here in St. Louis as of today, that young man, and I cannot remember his name, but they found him right there off of Halls Ferry and 270, hung from a tree. And the last time I heard anything really about it, he was a big part of Black Lives Matter. He was a big protester, and they thought, or made us a lot of assumptions out there, thinking that the police had a lot to do with it. As of today, they still do not have anybody in regards to being in custody for that young man's hanging. And then just recently, I want to say in Georgia, they just found another young black man hanging from a tree. You know, Some things I can see African Americans doing, and some things I can't. And the hanging from a tree is not one of them.
Yeah, and in the meantime, you think back to January 6th in Washington, D.C., and a lady climbed through the window in the middle of the riot trying to bust into the House chamber in the Capitol, and she was shot by a police officer. Guy happened to be black. I don't think that had anything to do with any of it. But the point is that she was white. She climbed through that window. And today, I mean, this very day, they're still screaming about this, that this woman was murdered. And she was climbing in a broken window with a riot going on around her. And you explain to me what that's about. You know, so.
And are they not supposed to protect the Capitol? Period. Period. By any means necessary. They're supposed to protect the Capitol and everybody that works in there, including the president, especially the president. So that makes no sense to me.
Well, especially the vice president, who they were threatening to hang. And when Donald heard about it, we all know the response. He said, well, if he'd have done the right thing, he wouldn't be dealing with this. And the point of all that is, here we are, and half the country, that part of the alternate universe, is out here saying that nothing happened.
Right.
On January 6th, it was a peaceful day. It was a walk in the park. And if there was anything going on, they say that the FBI actually set it up and created a disturbance so that they could come back and somehow put Donald Trump in the middle of it when he didn't do a thing, you know. But we've seen it all on television. We know what happened. The amazing part of it is the people who in the wake of this insurrection stood up and said, enough's enough. We're through with Donald Trump. How could he have done this? This man's insane. And then, in a short period of time, they've all turned around and jumped back on with Donald Trump as if he done nothing. So, you know, it's amazing that we're dealing with this entire situation, and we're dealing with it. And that's why I say, if you think back to what happened and back to the future, you sit here and you wonder, what's the date that somebody got their hands on that little magazine and Michael J. Fox has got to grab his hands on that magazine and get rid of it, burn it,
right,
so that we can go back to the real direction that this place was in and just dump this alternate universe, because it is exactly that. And, you know, when you think about what people believe, that first, as I said, they think that the FBI actually attacked the Capitol. It wasn't Donald Trump's people. And then you go on from there, and it's the Haley people today. These are Republicans who are saying that Nikki Haley's the voice of reason, not treason. And so this is not Democrats who are saying this. And by the way, here's a good one. Speaking of all these elections going on, take South Dakota, because, you know, that was one of the places where there was an election a couple days ago.
Right.
You know, and what happened in South Dakota that is so amazing is that Trump won, like, by 70 points. So big win for Trump in South Dakota. But there's one problem. He only got in the entire state 1,800 votes. That's it. So the point is, so few people participated.
I was going to say, didn't nobody participate in voting in that whole state?
No, in the entire state, nobody showed up. And listen, not to that extent, but certainly overall, the voting numbers are way down. So Trump is winning, and he's winning with all these people who say they're MAGA. But the truth is, they're winning with numbers that absolutely cannot compete with anybody in the general election. And, you know, they've got polls right now that show both ways. You know, there's a Wall Street Journal poll out today that says that Trump's ahead. I'm sorry, that Biden's ahead by 47 to 45. And then there's a New York Times poll that came out yesterday that says that Trump's ahead by 48 to 43. So they're all very narrow numbers, and they're all within this very small range of the potential error. But the fact is this: people are just not really energized in any way for this yet. I don't know why. I mean, that should be the story. The people just aren't out here frightened. You know, I'll tell you, in Europe, they're scared. That's no joke. The Europeans think this could be the end of the world for them. So that they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do if Donald J. Trump is the president and the United States pulls out of NATO and we back out of all of our other commitments and we go into business with Vladimir Putin and Viktor Orban in Hungary, who arrests journalists and is a dictator. I mean, he is. He's anti-democracy. He says it. And Trump loves him. Just had him down at Mar-a-Lago. You know, they're all hanging around down there. Trump and his dictators. And then people say, oh, he was kidding when he said he was going to be dictator for a day. Other people say, wait a minute. You get to be dictator for a day. You're not giving it back. And we know, we've seen it. You know, this is the man that told us that we should inject bleach. That would save us from COVID. Yeah, you know, look, it's pretty sad.
And people died from that. People listened to that fool and died from that. Oh, my God.
I mean, the man told Woodward, Bob Woodward, that he knew that what he was telling the American people was untrue, but that he did it because he didn't want anybody to panic. You know, and then when Woodward put all that information out, which was on the record, was provided to him by Trump, and then Trump turned around and started suing Woodward and saying, how could you release all of this? Well, what did he think the meetings were about? The interviews, the tape recordings, the whole thing. What did he think that was for? I mean, of course he knew. He knew it very well. He knows everything. But, I mean, I say he knows. He may hear it. He may be there. Apparently, he doesn't know much at all. And you know, if that's what we're dealing with as a country, then that's where we are. But
I'm just still dumbfounded to the fact that this man is still out and walking with every single thing that has came up against him. If that was anybody else, they would be sitting behind bars waiting for a trial date.
Yeah. And that's true. That's true, Stephanie. But let me also say, and I keep saying it, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it every time because Trump says it every time. Trump says the lies over and over again. So we have to say the truth over and over again. And the truth is, in the United States, our system would rather go so far to protect the innocent in our justice system that we're willing to take the risk that a guilty person might go free. That's our system. If a guilty person goes free, and we did it because we protected their rights in a way that was aimed at making sure that no innocent person would go to jail. See, that's what we do. And if that's what's up, well, then we should respect that. And we should realize that that's why Donald Trump's getting away with this, because our system does try to go to extraordinary lengths to protect people who are innocent. And that means that sometimes someone who's guilty might be able to get away with it. Now, Trump has been able to get away with it for 40 years, and that's a sad situation. But listen, the system is coming down on him right now so hard. There are 91 felony indictments out. And I can tell you that if Donald thinks that he's not going to get one conviction out of those 91, he's dreaming. And when he gets one, that's all it would take. One. And then he's in jail. And it's probably for life at his age. So really, if he's not scared,
you know what? I hear you, Mark. But if he could sit out this long and not have anything taken away from him, to be able to walk amongst everybody, all the citizens that would have to pay for the same situation that he's in right now, then I feel like, you know, tell the truth, shame the devil. Because personally, he should be sitting behind bars waiting on a trial date. Period.
Yeah. Well, he should be. He should be. And the truth is that the system
anybody
has gone,
else would.
But the system has gone to great lengths to protect his due process. And honestly, I have no fear whatsoever. I am certain that they're going to get him. And look, the first
it's about money.
The first
it's about money.
Well, he's got no money, Stephanie. He's got no money. Look, that man was supposed to have enough money to put up the bond for his $500 million that he now owes to different people. He can't do it. At first he said, well, I shouldn't have to put up that money. I'm a rich man. Now it's gotten to the point where they didn't buy that story. And so now he's saying, I can't pay it. I don't have it. And, you know, he could sell some things to take care of the money that he owes. And if I were Trump, which he's a we know he's a psychopath, so forget saying if you were he. But the fact is, I would sell something so that nobody would know that I had no money. And in fact, he just won't do it. He's actually admitting now that he hasn't got the money. And when he doesn't put it up, Letitia James has said she's coming for his property. It's that simple. She's going to get everything he's got. And you know, there, the other problem is a lot.
So what are we waiting for? If he already established the fact that he doesn't have the money, then he lied and said that he didn't want to give up the money. What are we waiting for?
He's got He's got 30 days. Again, it's his due process. He gets his 30 days. Now, at the end of 30 days, they're going to start taking things from him. And
due process only works for certain people. Remember that, Mark.
Yeah, I do remember. But you know what? He, although he doesn't have any money, he's got people. And these people are it's the Tammy Faye Baker thing. That the people that support him are people who are eating dog food. They're in total poverty, but they've got $1. And so they take that $1 and they send it to Trump so that Trump can pay his legal bills. And so I'm just telling you, he does have money for lawyers, and he better have money for lawyers, because everybody knows that throughout his entire history, he hired lawyers and he never paid them. So he better pay them up front, because these lawyers aren't so stupid. They know if they don't get their money up front, they'll get it never. However, here's something that you can get, but you do have to pay for it. And that is great food at Wendy's. But you have to pay. You know, I suspect that any restaurateur, you know, you'd have to know if Trump's coming to your restaurant, make sure he's got some money, because this man doesn't pay. But anyway, whether you pay or not, you know, they're going to serve you with some really great food. Hopefully everybody pays. Yeah, don't try the Trump routine. But Wendy's is at 18,000. Chesterfield Airport Road, and that's right here in Chesterfield Valley. It's great, great food. And, you know, baby back ribs, I like that because that protein is what I really go for. It's healthy. Now, they've also got great pizza. They've got excellent onion rings, which I love, but I've stayed away from for a long time. But you can get it at Wendy's. Look, most people aren't acting like I do. You know, my brother says I'm Howard Hughes. You know, I'm afraid of everything. But other people are normal, and so they go to Wendy's and they enjoy themselves. So do that. 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. That's Wendy's. Now, if you want jewelry, well, you can go get that over at 4506 Hampton. And one thing about the jewelry, you won't gain any weight, but you're gonna have to. But you're gonna have to spend some money. You know, I promise you that. I mean, our friend Al isn't in business for nothing. But it's a great place. fair, outstanding buys that you can get on jewelry that is created by Al and his people. I mean, they're very creative, and they buy and sell coins and all the kinds of things you would expect at jewelers where this stuff happens. And overall, it's just a great place. If you're looking for jewelry and you need to sell some jewelry, you're looking for the good creative pieces that Al puts out at Jewels on Hampton. But finally, this is the key for me.
Yes.
My 44-year-old gold watch, which is a Seiko, you can even get that repaired at Jewels on Hampton. So check them out, 4506 Hampton. And finally, do you like my tie and my shirt today, my yellow?
I was getting ready to say, you look kind of spiffy today, yeah, sir.
It's my yellow. Although I have to say this, and this is really, you can't beat this. You would say yellow, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say yellow. But if you're 2 years old, you say yayo. And I'll tell you, when little Ari, my 2-year-old grandson, does his yayo thing, I mean, that just melts you. You know how that is.
I was going to say, that steals your little heart.
Yep. It's amazing. Anyway, the St. Louis Suit Company, corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton, and they've been there for 29 years, and I love buying new suits there. You know, one of these days, I got some suits in the closet that I haven't even worn, maybe once or twice. I mean, I'm just silly that way, but I'll show up here with some of it. Some of it is really nice. The things I wear every day, that's nice too. But there's some really nice suits that I have that I just don't wear very often. But anyway, I'll break them out and bring them here on the air because we want to show everybody all the great things that you can get at the St. Louis Suit Company. And I also know, and I mentioned this early on a couple weeks ago when we were starting the show, that they have really nice seersucker suits for $99. And, you know, they're seersucker and they're seersucker. In other words, in the old day, it sort of looked a little crumpled and, you know, not so nice. But today it really looks nice. It's good. Excellent. I'm thinking about buying one. I haven't had one in years, and it's just spring. It's the right time to buy seersucker coming into summer and all. Anyway, they're in Clayton, corner of Forsyth and Central, and they've been there for 29 years. I'm sure they'll be there tomorrow. Oh, and don't forget those ties. Because, you know, the important thing about the ties, I mean, $5 for a silk tie that's just nice. But I always want to warn people, don't buy them for $50 from Trump because he'll choke you. Yeah, those Trump ties, they choke you. But not at St. Louis Suit Company. Those are great ties. $5.
For how much?
No, $5. Absolutely. Well, actually, you can get them for less. I'll tell you how. If you buy five ties, it's $20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He even lowers it at that point. I keep telling him, you know, the ties really make me laugh, the price. And he keeps saying, over the years, he keeps saying, yeah, I really should raise the price on those ties. But he never does. And they're great. Anyway, St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton, 29 years they're there, and they are outstanding.
Sounds like a nice place to go and buy some gifts.
That too. I'll tell you. Well, that's right, because you can go there and buy up the ties. And by the way, I've done that too. I have bought hundreds of ties at a time and given them away to my students. It's really fun.
That's nice.
No, it's really fun. And the thing about it is that, you know, a lot of these schools where the kids wear uniforms, I mean, it's one thing if they wear just like a certain color shirt or something, which I hate.
Right.
But what I love, like my school, where the kids wear ties and bow ties. So they dress up nice. And there are plenty of places where students do that. And so that's a great opportunity to get the students' ties. And then also, are you good at tying ties?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Well, regular, the long ties, yes. Oh, I don't know how to do a bow tie yet.
Yeah, I can't do a bow tie. I never learned that one. But I do teach the kids how to tie a tie because I did learn many years ago. You know, everybody, I love when people say, well, my dad this or my dad, you know, but in this case, actually, you know, my dad, who was wrong about a lot of stuff, but he sure knew what he was doing when it came to ties. He was good. Yeah, he knew how to tie a tie and he taught me how to do it. So there you are. Anyway, you know, one of the things about this Super Tuesday election, Stephanie, is that tonight, if you go to the networks, and especially MSNBC, where I go, where they actually tell the truth, I mean, that's an amazing thing, but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. And by the way, how do you know if something's the truth? What do you think?
You know what, Mark?
It's not a trick question. I mean, how would you go
it's
about
it? It's not a quick, yeah. It's not a trick question, but you know what? To me, you got to prove it. You know, you got to prove it to make a determination if it's true or not. So,
yeah. Well,
you can't believe everything you hear. You can't believe everything you read. So,
no, you can't. But one thing for sure, there's a lot of truth in, for example, university research in the United States. I mean, when universities publish journals and peer-reviewed articles and so forth, generally, you know, like 99% of the time, it's true. Whatever's in there, it's true. It's peer-reviewed. It goes around to lots of different people that are professors and at different universities, and it's checked out very thoroughly, and it's true. Now, I know people don't want to hear it because, for example, on the website, talkstl.net, there are articles for, as an example, there's one that shows that for decades, people who have crossed that border commit very little crime. And the people who live in the United States that are born here are the ones who are committing crimes. I mean, that's research and that's peer-reviewed by universities. Go read it on talkstl.net, and I guarantee you it's true. Now, people will say,
I mean, I haven't never denied that part. I haven't denied that part. Yeah. You know, when it comes to crime, that was never my issue.
No, that's not you. No, not you.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, there are ways to find things that are true. You know, if you go to the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, and both papers tell the same story, one is very conservative. One is very liberal. And they both say the same thing happened. Well, it probably happened. You know? Now, I have to say it's a sad fact, but if you read the Washington Examiner, which, have you ever read that one?
I have.
Okay. So you read the Washington Examiner, I mean, it just blows me away that they make such stories up because they're often not true. And how do you know? Well, you go to the New York Times, you go to the Wall Street Journal, and they're telling a different story. It's not true because the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal just don't allow the reporters to make things up. They have to fact check everything over and over and over. And by the way, if they do tell something that's not true, they'll end up firing the people, and then they'll print retractments. I mean, they'll tell you, we inadvertently did this, and we want you to know the truth. But people still think that these publications are lying, because Donald Trump has said 1,000 times and then 10,000 times that they're the enemy of the people and that they're making everything up. No, they're not. They're just not. But
he
says it. And if he keeps saying it, then people will believe it. And you know, there's a guy, Gerskovich, who's sitting in jail in Moscow. And and he's from the Wall Street Journal. And he's in jail because in those countries, they say the same thing, that the media is the enemy of the people, and then they round them up and they jail them. And sometimes they kill them.
I was going to say, sometimes they kill them. Well, they come up missing or they dead.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is, we don't do that. And the people here do have the right to make up a story. They can tell stories. Now, if they tell stories like Fox News did about the voting machines, they're going to end up with a $1 billion bill for defamation.
Yep.
$1 billion. Now, how many people still watch Fox News and think that these people are telling the truth when they have been fined or, you know, charged by the court $1 billion? And listen, that's not the end of it. There's another one coming. You know, another one of these voting machine companies that's got I think it's a $2.5 billion lawsuit that they also have against Fox as well. Maybe they won't get that much. Maybe they will. I don't know what they're going to get, but I'll tell you this. You can't lie maliciously against people and harm them to the point where you ruin, number one, their reputation, or number two, their business, because they're going to come back and they're going to get you. And I guess that the people that support Donald, they hear these things. Apparently, it just doesn't register. I mean, if I were watching a news program,
people believe what they want to believe, though. The people believe what they want to believe, and they hear what they want to hear.
Yeah. Apparently, that's true, Steph. But if I'm watching something and I find out that it's a lie, I'm not going to come right back to it the next day and say, well, okay, it was a lie yesterday, but today it's the truth.
Right.
I won't. I know that, and I know it because I listened to it this morning, you know, on the air, you know, right-wing stuff. The voting machines, they've got to be tossed. We can't have voting machines because it's nothing but false information. It allows people to put Donald Trump's enemies into office. They've got it all figured out. The only problem is Fox News pays $1 billion because they told this lie. Now, you know, you can sit out here and say, close your eyes, put your hands over your ears, and go, make all kinds of noise so you don't hear it. But the fact is, these people are lying. The voting machines are safe, they're fair, and they allow us to run free elections. So, you know, the people who are out here pretending that Fox is not paying $1 billion for this, well, that's just stupidity.
True.
Now, I know they're there.
Again, people gonna believe what they want to believe. They hear what they want to hear. So, you know, you can't make them.
No, you can't make them anything. That's true.
Right.
And we don't want to make them. You know, you're allowed to believe anything you want to believe. But if you tell the story, and if you're malicious and you're lying about it, you're going to pay. That's our system. That's why Donald Trump owes $88 million to a woman who he raped.
Right.
I mean,
E.
Jean Carroll.
I want to jump in right now.
Yeah, E. Jean Carroll, I mean, she was raped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Mike just jumped in. He said all voting should just be mailed in. I agree, but I don't agree, because then you're going to have issues with mail getting lost, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then you're going to have those issues. So I get where you're coming from. That's why they only have certain people that can mail in their votes. My personal opinion is not to have electronic voting. Those can be altered. I think if you're going to vote, go in, and everybody has to do the old school handwritten ballot.
Yeah. Now, let me say this on that point. And by the way, thanks for reminding me that the chat is up there, and I just pulled it all up, so I see you now, Michael. Sorry about that. But listen, first, on the voting, the day is eventually going to come when, see this cell phone?
Yeah.
You're going to push a button. Now, I understand it may not be safe to do that today, but it will get there. I mean, you won't stand in line. You know, you will push a button, and electronically we'll find out what the vote is, and it'll be the end of it. That may not be as much fun, have people screaming at each other and, you know, accusing of all these different things, but
computers are man-made. They can be hacked. They can be altered.
Yeah, today.
It's like
today. Yeah, you're right. Today. But I don't know. Eventually, you would think that they might get to the point where this would work. What do you think?
Nope.
Never, huh?
No, because as long as they are computers and they're man-made, there's somebody out there that's going to be able to access.
What do you think, Michael?
Period.
Give us a word here. Tell me if you think that the day is going to come when you can just push the button and it'll be registered. I mean, it might be 100 years from now, Steph, but I think that someday they'll do it. And by the way, Michael also said here, because I just did pull it up, that the Cardinals need a new manager, which,
yep.
You know, I said that the other day. And, you know, the story is that it will be Molina. And
I've heard that.
Yeah. And I think that's what should happen. I really do. I think that would be great. I think that poor Ollie is just, I don't think he's, it's not a question of them finishing last, although they did. But also, I think he's made horrible decisions through the year. And they still could have come out higher with those decisions. But the point is, I would toss him. And I think this, if they toss Ollie after the Cardinals lose for 2 months, they're idiots. Because what they should do is toss him now, and maybe the Cardinals won't lose for 2 months. Because they've definitely done some things to strengthen the team. And you know, we're going to get there, and it's baseball, and you know, if you win, that's fun, and if you lose, it's still fun. It's baseball.
Yeah, they've been getting real close every year, and then they get there and they just fall off. I don't know.
Well, listen, Berger says all the time that none of this business is really determined by how good the team is, that the ultimate decision on how it works out comes from the baseball gods. You know, they run it. You know, the baseball gods are more powerful than anything in the universe. And when they want a team to do something, then it happens. So, you know, you can't go against the baseball gods, and you could have the greatest team there is. And believe me, the New York Yankees have had some great teams on paper. They keep buying all the best papers or best players, and then they don't win. But that's because the baseball gods have the ultimate power.
That's true.
Yeah, you can't forget them. They're everything. So, yeah. You know, that's important. But anyway, we're running down, you know, out of time. We have a few minutes left, Steph. I just want to say, and this may be a conversation that you know is longer than what I'm about to give it, but I don't know if you saw the headlines the other day where Missouri is getting $1.1 billion from it's marijuana sales. I think the sales reached $1.1 billion. And so they're getting, a lot of money from it. Okay. So first of all, what do you think about that?
Okay. So in the marijuana sales, they sold.
They're way high. They're way above everybody else.
I believe that.
Yeah. Well, I believe it.
With all the dispensaries. You're talking about with the dispensaries.
Well, this is
so now
recreational marijuana too.
Right. Okay, so they're making that much, and now the government is stepping in and snatching the money up. Well, what are they going to do with it?
They're going to tax them. That, you know, that's understood.
Well, yeah, but what they going to do with the money?
Oh, I don't know. Give it to Donald Trump, probably. But let me ask you this: does it bother you? And don't get me wrong, all my friends use marijuana for years. And it was everywhere. It is everywhere. It's ubiquitous. There's no question about it. But my argument would be that I just am not real excited about the idea that we're trying to promote marijuana for tax purposes. I think we should let's tax the rich. You know, the rich need to be taxed fairly. You know, not the little guy all the time.
Well, you knew when they passed that as a law that they were going to tax them.
Well, I have no problem with that.
And
I think it's fair. I mean, marijuana should be legal. So just like, you know, alcohol is. We don't want all people going to jail over this. Of course not. We'll stop all that. But I'll tell you this. I don't like the idea of raising these drugs, including alcohol, as, you know, some kind of great money makers for the state. You know, we should be so proud. You know, I'm not a drug person. I really don't like it. I'm not saying make it illegal, but I just don't feel like praising it.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I don't think that's what they're trying to do, but I could see where you would see that. The bottom line is, you know, marijuana, it is a controlled substance. Yes, you can get addicted to it, but it's also for medicinal purposes as well.
It is.
So it's unlike, you know, crack, cocaine,
yeah,
fentanyl, you know, it's unlike all of those other drugs.
Well, I'm going to tell you one funny story and then we'll get out of here.
Okay.
And it's a short one. When I had hair and I was in the stock market and I was like 20 years old at a brokerage firm and I loved it. Great business. And there was at that time, when you turned in orders to go to New York, you turned it over to a guy that put it on the wire and sent it to New York. And the guy who was running the wire was a relatively young guy like I was. And, you know, he was smoking marijuana while he was putting the orders in. And he was, high as could be. And I mean, I don't care if you're high, but I went to the manager and I said, look, I'm not worried about the guy being high, but he's sending my orders in and he's high and I don't want this guy messing this thing up. And anyway, they fixed it. But I'm just saying, you know, there's a time and a place. And if you're somewhere where your head needs to be clear, you probably should not be using those drugs.
Correct.
Yeah.
And even though they have legalized it, there are millions of companies out here who are very strict on being under the influence at work, smelling like marijuana coming to work. Policies and procedures have not changed.
Absolutely. So we'll end it with this. Wendy's, St. Louis Suit Company, and Jules on Hampton. That's the great people that keep us on the air. We'll be here tomorrow. Stephanie, you have a great evening.
You do the same, Mark.
Talk to you all. Good night.
Good night.